Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right, this will be great. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Just sitting here pondering, how embarrassing is it for me to think I should be getting a veteran rest day every once in a while? Answer is very. I think it's embarrassing to have thought of that. Sal Capaccio with us. Sal, I Joe just had that point about DeAndre Hopkins. How he won't be ready for this game. I think I really like Arizona this week. How do you guys feel?
I have to go back and look. Didn't they beat him twice this year?
Split.
Oh, they did split. Okay.
They lost a Monday night game at home that I think you would remember. They won at LA early in when they were undefeated, right?
Yep.
Right.
And then they lost a night game. I think it was a Monday. So split.
That's right.
I don't love Arizona. I think if Hopkins were back, that could push me a little. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm ready to trust them in this spot yet. And that's recognizing that Stafford's been pretty erratic here the last few
weeks. That's right. That means trusting Matthew Stafford in the playoffs.
Right,
that's right.
Right. There's been a lot of, you know, with the way he's played the last, again, I don't know if it's the whole month or whatever, but, you know, last handful of games, there's a lot of, hey, everybody, look, Matthew Stafford's exactly who he's always been. And, you know, I'm not here to say that that's wrong, but if you're worried about that, I would understand it. But I don't know about Arizona.
I've been on the Rams since the beginning of the season. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, so I keep thinking, like, all right, they won like six in a row to end the season, or five in a row before they lost at the end. Like, okay, you know, they're starting to play. Like, this is the Rams team I thought. So I think just mentally I want to stay with them because I picked them and I feel that's who they are. And I'm not convinced in Arizona, who definitely had a bit of a swoon, but then it seems like they're playing a little bit better. So, yeah, I would not be surprised if Arizona beats them. I think this is going to be an interesting game Monday night.
Did you
see the number there?
Four.
Like, four?
Around four, yeah, give or take. Did you guys see Sean McVay celebrating a touchdown in the end zone?
I didn't.
17-0. Yes. They scored a touchdown to make it 17-0. McVay is like all the way in the, you know, the little dog pile, so to speak, in the end zone, celebrating with the players. He'd lost five games in a row to San Francisco. And the crowd is all San Francisco, too, by the way, in LA for this game last week. And the 49ers come back and beat them anyway. Just like, you know, I wonder what you would have thought of that. If you see that, let me know what you think, because it seems very strange to have.
Yeah, I would. I didn't see it, but I would say that that's pretty bush league for a coach.
Yeah, you know, like early in the game. I don't know. It came off a little bit like that to me too. Okay. Veteran rest. I mean, let's just start with the injury report because the Bills have almost nobody on here. The Patriots have a list, Sal.
Yeah, they always have a list, Mike.
That's right. That's right.
And they always play. Now, I will tell you though. Feels a little different here for a couple things. Jamie Collins, he's new to the report, and he didn't practice today. And he's with an ankle injury. Isaiah Wynn, he didn't practice today with hip injury. It's not a typical Wednesday. The game is on Saturday. They also have to travel here on Friday. So my antenna goes up here and thinks, okay, that's not trending well for them. Like, as much as Belichick likes to put everybody on the injury report, and you had all these other guys who were limited, like 11 other guys limited. You got two starters here, two very important players who are not practicing on a Wednesday, on a Saturday game, with travel involved. I'm wondering what their availability is. The other two guys, though, three guys, I should say, Christian Barmore left last week's game with a knee injury. Seems like he's going to be okay. He was limited today. From everybody I've talked to and, you know, following along with them and their media, he was not really limited at practice in any way, it seemed like. However, Kyle Duggar and Dante Hightower neither played last week, and both are limited still this week. I think they're both going to play, but I wonder where they are. So I don't think it's nothing like it is a typical Patriots nothing report. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Barmore thing seemed pretty significant on Sunday.
Yep.
And like the vibe was, you know, we got to wait for an MRI, but it looks bad. And then the MRI was clean, and that the whole thing sort of turned. And Wynn also got hurt on Sunday. So that's a pretty fresh injury, and him not practicing. Yeah, to me, those are the ones that stand out, you know, in the usual 36 player injury list that the Patriots release on a Wednesday normally.
Yeah. And they also, they signed a corner from the, was it the Texans practice squad? And I wonder, that would be, what is his name? Cravon LeBlanc is his name.
Great name.
And they just, so I wonder if, like that's a proactive move to know, like, they're going to be out. And, I guess it should be said here when I say this. They placed their corner on COVID. Who was it? Mills, Jalen Mills. And he's their starting corner. He's behind J.C. Jackson. He's opposite J.C. Jackson. They pick up this other guy from the Texans practice squad. So even though the injury report doesn't include him, Jalen Mills is not out there. He's not practicing, and I don't know if he's going to be ready to play. And that's a really significant loss for them if that's the case.
Right. What day did he go on that list? Was that yesterday?
Okay. Yesterday.
And he couldn't make it by Saturday night, I think, right?
Yes.
Yes. That he wouldn't practice all week, and I'm not saying he can't play, obviously, but it would still be, you know, you're going to insert a guy that hasn't practiced all week and the game plan and all that kind of stuff.
I need to get another dog so I can name it Cravon LeBlanc. What a cool name that is. Like, just, I love that name. That's, who is he? He's the corner of the Patriots.
They've signed him. They poached him, I believe, from the Texans practice squad, I believe.
Okay. Although it's probably inappropriate to name pets after, like, full names of people, right? You just sort of, like, Fred is a good dog name. Or Samson. But it wouldn't be someone's full name.
Right.
I would mean it as a tribute. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so practice this time of year, like we're talking about what the injury reports say. Bulldog and I were talking about this earlier. Like, what is practice when you're going into the playoffs? I mean, after such a long season, you're playing this team for the third time. I mean, I feel like it shouldn't be super strenuous, Sal. And then there's also, like, this question about practicing indoors versus outdoors, which we're talking about a little bit here with the forecast being what it is. So what do you know about how the Bills are looking at that or how they think about that?
Well, practice this time of year is, you're not banging on each other. You're not, you know, putting full pads on and going goal line. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen. You're not going to risk a guy getting hurt, you know, heading into the playoffs. You might, you know, throw some pads on and just the guys don't get hurt, and there might be some a little bit light contact here because you're working against each other. But it's generally going to be more about game plan, buttoning up, just being tight, more precise, doing everything, your one-on-ones, things like that you have to kind of make sure. All those kinds of things that, you know, you just want to really be detail-oriented, if you will. So I would expect that to be the case. Obviously, we're not out there watching practice. We can't even be inside when they're doing practice right now due to NFL protocols. As far as being outside, inside, it's really a good question. I will ask Sean McDermott tomorrow. We'll have him on at 10:35 and about the pros and cons. But I will tell you, it really comes down to the balance of if you want to go outside in the elements because you're going to face some elements and, you know, getting used to it and letting your guys know this is what it's going to be like versus the productive practice you can get in. It's one thing. This happened when it was super windy, I think, leading up to the Monday night game, and people knew it was going to be windy. And the Bills were practicing inside, and people would say, well, why don't they go outside? It's windy today. They should go outside. And I'm like, but then they're not getting an actual practice in and being productive. Like, the whole point of practice is to have your game plan installed, especially early in the week, and to make sure everybody knows what they're doing. You can't really do that if you're standing out there in the wind and throwing footballs, and they're going all over the place. You know, so that's the balance. The other part of this is you do live in Buffalo, and guys, I've been out there since August. They've been practicing outside most of the year. You know, now towards the end of the year, they did go inside a little bit more often. I don't think just going outside necessarily for 2 hours of practice, which is what it is, suddenly is going to say, oh, we're used to it. After you've lived in Buffalo and they go home and they shovel snow and all that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. I said it, Sal. It might be a little dismissive. I'm open to having holes poked in it, but I just thought, I don't think you really need to practice being cold. You're going to be
right.
cold, and it's going to be so cold on Saturday that I don't know what the value of practicing outdoors today when it's 30 degrees warmer really would be, other than making guys unnecessarily uncomfortable. Like, I don't think there's any way to simulate it. You know, I might feel differently, and I think you might be able to argue differently if it were 0 degrees outside today. And, like, okay, we can simulate what the game is going to be like. Maybe there'd be some value in that. But I don't even then, I think I would still advocate for just doing your work inside. Saturday's going to come. Everybody's going to be cold. And I don't know that working on it on Wednesday or Thursday is really going to matter that much.
Yeah, and I heard your caller a little bit before I came on. I thought he made a good point about the Carpenter. He said,
yeah.
I don't, you know, if you go out there and all of a sudden Stephon Diggs is catching missiles from Josh Allen, his hand hurts after practice, like, what you're going to explain that now? We're practicing outside, and our number one receiver got hurt because the cold weather and the way it was. You know, you'd rather have his hands and his body fresh and all that kind of stuff. Look, they do prepare for a lot of things. We know this. Like, they'll turn up the heat in the field house when they're playing Miami in an early season game. I've been in, I felt that. They'll put the noise, obviously, in the field house or outside to get used to, you know, a road stadium. If it's going to be a rainy day, they might elect, you know, it's going to be a little bit rainy outside. Let's go out there for a little while. Or Sean McDermott, what he'll do is he'll pour water on the ball or something, you know, to get used to it for guys. So they do prepare for things like that. But, yeah, I generally agree. I mean, you don't live in L.A. and then all of a sudden you're playing in a 0-degree game. You live in Buffalo,
yeah.
And you're already going to and from the stadium. You're outside. Maybe you have kids or whatever like that. And you have to get a practice in. The whole point of practice is to practice. It's to be productive and to get ready for the upcoming opponent, not necessarily get ready for the weather.
Sal, do you know – because I'm thinking of one thing that I would sort of separate, and that's like ball handling and the ball specifically. Like on game day, where are the balls? Are the balls kept somewhere where they're not all frozen, or are they all just there frozen? And can you simulate that in practice? Would it be worth it? Because I think that there would be, we've had Eric Wood mention how Jim Kelly said, I think after the Atlanta game, you got to know how to throw it and take a little off it when the ball is slick and it's frozen like that. And I think we've seen Allen throw some darts where maybe taking a little off could have resulted in some completions. So, you know, I don't want to walk both sides of the line here, but I wonder if the ball, if there's a way, even though you're practicing indoors, like, could you get a big chest freezer and put a bunch of footballs in there and make them slick so that everybody who has to handle the ball is used to handling the ball when it's in that condition?
I think you could, yes. I think that's up to you if you want to do that at practice, if that's how you want to do it. Just like the example I gave where if you know it's going to be rainy, like, they might go and pour some water on the ball right before the center snaps it, you know, during practice to get mm-hmm. used to the center exchange of the quarterback with a wet ball. Yeah, you could definitely do that. Now, during the game, as, you know, Eric has said to me before, like, if the officials are doing their job in a rain game, we've talked about this, they can keep the ball pretty dry. Because what happens is you have these ball boys or balls girls on the sideline who hold the footballs, and they have these big pouches, and they have the big X on them or whatever. They walk around with you could see them down there. Whenever a ball goes mm-hmm. to the sideline, they're always grabbing them, and they keep them in these big pouches, and, you know, they're holding on to them. Then the referee gets a ball from them, and the referees, they have towels they can use or whatever, and then, of course, the players do, or Josh has his hand warmers. So they try to keep the balls during the game as fresh as possible, if you will, not as frozen, not wet. Of course, during the game, though, it could happen, right? I mean, it's cold outside. So I do think, you know what, like Jim says, as that happens, you got to be able to throw the ball. During practice, I think they can. Bulldog, I think they can kind of do whatever they want to make sure they simulate what the ball might feel like that night.
Yeah, to me, there would be value in that.
Because mm-hmm.
That's not making anyone uncomfortable. I think you're increasing any injury risk, but you are getting used to, like, your quarterback throwing the ball in that condition and receivers catching it and securing it and all that sort of stuff. So, I don't know. I'd be curious to know if there's any way that they try to do that. But
I can find out later this week. We still have some players we can talk to on Zoom, and we can ask them.
Yeah.
Chest freezer gate. We could be coming up on
right,
chest freezer gate. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Do you think, I mean, the weather, I'm sorry for, like, every day, just like you sort of said it when the Patriots are here the first time. It's like, oh, the wind. You know, if this game reminds us of that game, because of the weather. Not that it's the same weather, but, you know, the Bills, this point Bulldog makes about Josh Allen or whatever, like the Bills couldn't really be their best selves because it was so cold out. A team that just, the defense has been great, first in the league, but the offense too. Are we looking at, if they go down here, are we looking at an offseason where not only are the three of us talking all the time about what they might change about themselves, but is that what Brandon Bean might sound like? I mean, I don't know. I apologize for asking a question that sort of implies a loss. I mean, they're favored, and I really like this team, of course. But I wonder if, like, sort of that's out there. If, I mean, especially with the stadium stuff, right? I mean, fans are talking all the time about whether there should be a roof on the new stadium.
Well, even look at what Mina Kimes tweeted today. Did you see that?
Yes, you know Allen, I mean, in the dome would be pretty good.
Right. She said basically, like, you know, what do you believe in sports that's kind of goofy, but you believe it? And she said, you want to get the most out of Josh Allen, build a dome. And then she followed up and said, please, I would, like, this is not against Josh Allen. I'm just saying that he'd be so great in a dome, you know. And I think a lot of people share that sentiment. So I'm sure that, you know, we already know that's been a big talking point already, and that mm-hmm. would continue to be a big talking point for sure in that scenario, Mike. But either way, if you lose this week, you lose next week to the Chiefs, like, yeah, there's a lot of – it can go a couple different ways, which is, I think if it's this week, I think it immediately becomes something along the lines of, well, you didn't really add to the roster in the offseason. You kind of kept everything the same except for some draft picks. What did you really do to improve? Which is a lot of the question that I would get in the offseason. How'd they improve? All they're getting is continuity. They're saying they're just going to get better internally. If, let's say, they win this week and go to Chiefs next week and the season ends there, then I think the question is, wait a minute, didn't you just basically gear up to beat that team? Like, wasn't that the goal? Like, you got to beat that team. You built this team to conquer them, and you didn't do it. So therefore, it's doubly disappointing because that was literally your focus, and you couldn't do it. So, yeah, I think that in both scenarios, you're looking at some tough questions.
Yeah, we'll get there when we get there, if we get there, right? Maybe they'll win the Super Bowl, and we'll be like, okay, what needs to change? And, you know, obviously the logical fit for that scenario is nothing. You just don't do anything. Everybody comes back. Everybody, you're exactly the same team next year because you just won. That's not what usually happens, but yeah. Let's hope.
Yeah. Sal, something else that was brought up earlier on our show, don't know if you were listening, doesn't really matter. I can tell you what it was right now, which I'm about to do. A caller was asking about John Feliciano, like his being, you know, not getting back in the lineup since he returned off of the COVID list. And my answer was, I don't think, you know, and I don't know that the caller was implying that there was some, you know, some motive there. I just said, I think Bates got in out of necessity and they found out that he maybe is a better left guard. And it's as simple as that. What do you have on that, if anything?
Yeah, I did hear the caller and I didn't know. I think that he was just kind of really confused why he's not playing. They signed him in the offseason and, you know, he started off as a starting guard and then it kind of went sideways and John was out for a little while. But even when he came back, it was like, okay, well, he's back. Why isn't he playing? And really, it was Ike Butker who took his job, guys. Ike Butker took John Feliciano's job originally, and then Ike Butker got hurt, and Ryan Bates came in, and he's been the guard. It just seems to me that for whatever reason, I mean, let's go back to the offseason. Remember, John Feliciano lost a lot of weight, and people questioned, like, his game is physical. His game is being a mauler. How much will that hurt him? And it could help him because he could be more athletic and do things like that. I just think that obviously all signs point to the fact that they just don't believe that he's the best person for the position because even when healthy, he's now been passed by a couple of different players on the roster.
Seeing a tweet from Howard Simon, this is Belichick's 44th, Bill Belichick, the New England coach, so everybody knows. This is Belichick's 44th postseason game as a head coach and first wild card road game of his career. Sixth wild card game overall, but all at home for New England and even Cleveland. Prior to this, I have no question about what that means, except just to point it out.
I think because the stat was before this, obviously, that Tom Brady had never played and has never played in a away wild card round game in his career.
And that streak continues. But he'll play forever, so eventually.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, are we saying no road playoff games in his career? Are we counting the Super Bowls, especially the one played in the other team's stadium?
No.
Doesn't count?
Can't count that.
It seems like you should.
That's
no, because the crowd is not, Well, you know, that's interesting. This is so dumb. Sorry, everybody. Like whether the crowd, the way the crowd is has something to do with whether it's a road game. Like, why isn't it a road game? It's in Tampa, but because like the fans are not all for Tampa.
I think the point of the stat is their teams have been so good they haven't had to go on the road.
Yes, of course. Yes.
In a Super Bowl, that kind of makes that go away. It's a Super Bowl.
That's right. That's right.
That's why you would say that. It's just like when I last week said, here are all the Bills' 4 o'clock window home games in their history. I'm throwing out the Toronto games because the point is, you know, here in Orchard Park, right, a home game. So I'm not going to count that. Yes, it's a quote-unquote home game, but, you know, I think there's a point of the stat to be made. And so with Patrick Mahomes, I think the point is, since he's been in this league, they've been so good they haven't had to go on the road.
Oh, I am aware. But if we're not counting Tampa because the fans aren't all Bucs fans, we can't count games the Leafs play here. So that there is a slippery slope. Hey, one more serious thing if we can fit this in. Joe Shane interviewing with the Giants and the Bears reportedly to possibly be their GMs. I'm interested in what you know about, like, sort of what his preparation might be for that. You know, like, any job interview can be, this is how I feel, this is what I want, this is how I see the league, the sport, etc. But I also want to make sure I don't say the wrong thing. You know, I'm trying to get this job. I want a little bit of maybe what you want to hear. So there's a balance there. Like, do you think he goes in having to have sort of a mastery of the Giants and Bears rosters? Or is it not like that? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I want to say Tom Brady played in Washington last year in the wild card round. So that stat ended last year.
Okay, good.
Thank you to AA Ron 85 on Twitter for letting me know as I read this. So thank you, Ron.
Aaron?
That is true. AA Ron, Bill's Mafia UB horns up. So there you go. He's a big Buffalo sports fan.
I guess.
You know, Mike, I don't know like if he's ever done like a mock interview. I'm sure. Like I think he's probably been prepped in a lot of different ways. I know that the organization, you know, they're behind him. They support him as they would Brian Daboll or Leslie Frazier get a head coaching job. This is the pinnacle of these people's professions and careers. They'd love to see them advance. So I think the people around them would support them in any way to do things like that. Maybe not right now this week, but in the off season or at some point to go through that kind of stuff. Sure. I mean, I think we've all been through interviews. You know, you play it in your head. Like, do I say something wrong? I want to be truthful, but I also, you know, don't want to blow it for myself or anything like that. I guarantee you though, you have to know the roster when you walk in because they're going to ask you, how do you fix this? How do you fix that? What do you think about this player? How do we go about fixing our salary cap? And you have to know going in, here are some moves. This is what I would specifically do with this team if I was hired here. Because once you're hired, like, things happen so rapidly, which is why nobody wants to wait. You get all these things. The Bills proposed this rule last year to, you know, have all head coaching interviews till after the season. And while it's all, you know, good intention with that, I get it. The reason why they're not going to make a rule like that is teams don't want to wait. They say, look, if we need a coach, we need to hire the guy or the girl and say, we need to start our process as soon as possible because we want to get our program going. And that's why you'd go in there and say, I know your roster. I know this. I know your salary cap. Here's what I would do.
So you don't like Daniel Jones. You're Joe Shane. You don't like Daniel Jones. You can't see a winning future with Daniel Jones. And you sit down and Mara says, what do you think of Daniel Jones? Do you say, can't win with him? Do you say, let's give it a shot? Do you say, you don't say up to you. You don't say that. Do you say, leave it up to the coach? what's the best answer?
Well, I would say, and I think this would be truthful, because you're not in the building with Daniel Jones every day. You may see from afar that you can't win, but I think the truthful response there would be, look, from what I've seen, I think I need to leave the door open for moving on with him, but I am absolutely willing to get in here, get to know the player, surround him with people, and see if we can make this work. But I need to do that first. I can't do that from afar.
Does that sound like a
good... You guys going to hire me?
It sounds like a cop-out a little bit. I don't know what I'd say. I don't know what I'd say. Interesting. Okay. Thank you, Sal.
Yeah. You're welcome.
All right, there's Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline, and his appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.